For Connecticut Public Radio, I'm John Henry Smith. Of late, you know, we've been marking not-so-happy anniversaries, most notably the anniversary of our collective realization that the pandemic was serious and life-changing. Today, we mark a more hopeful anniversary. Nearly a year ago, Governor Lamont announced the formation of the Connecticut COVID-19 Charity Connection, otherwise known as 4CT. It was billed as an effort to fill in the gaps for those in need created when our charitable donations decreased due to our pandemic-ravaged economy. The announcement came yesterday that 4CT Chief Executive Officer Ted Yang was stepping down. He joins us now. Ted, why leave now?
Well, thank you for having me, John. I figured that, you know what, 1 year was a good time for us to think about the future and talk about where 4CT was going to go next. When we got the call from Governor Lamont, it was a crisis. Things were looking pretty grim, and we needed to mobilize and get the philanthropic community deployed to help those most in need. And sometime last year, we realized that we were going to stick around for quite a while because the bottom 20% of the state of Connecticut that have been harmed the most by COVID are going to continue to need our help in this long recovery. So when that happened, I started thinking together with Don, my co-founder, and with our board, that we should think about putting someone in this seat that's going to be able to build the next generation of 4CT for the needs of Connecticut.
Co-founder Don Kendall, is he staying on or is he leaving as well?
No, he's sticking around, and I'm joining the board, so I'm not going anywhere, but I'm not going to be in the captain's chair.
Understood. Ted, give us a one-year status report on the 4CT organization. You know, we agreed last year that it was a charity for charities, if you will. What have you accomplished in this year?
Really, that was the intent, John, when we first created 4CT, because we wanted to be able to rapidly deploy help. So we were raising funds, and we were giving those funds to other nonprofits in the state, throughout the state, that could scale up their needs, scale up to address the needs of Connecticut residents, things like food, things like education, things like childcare, all listed on our website, 4-ct.org. Somewhere along that line, we realized that direct aid, which is cash aid, to Connecticut's most needy residents was going to be the way in order to impact them the most and provide the most help. We created a program around June of last year, started giving out our cards, which are $300 each, that were given to through community organizations and through our community health center network here in Connecticut, which is 70 different health centers that offer health care as well as PPE and now vaccination. And when we started to do that, we realized that the impact was going to be ongoing. And so we poured more and more resources into that program. So around November of last year, we then started to focus completely on that card program. And so throughout that period, we've given more than $12 million to other organizations. And then since then on the card program, we've done almost $2 million through the card program. So, you know, in addition to that, I'd like to say that 4CT helped direct other philanthropic donations, which total our $20 million impact number that I use.
Well, with the economy looking on the verge of robustly reopening, I mean, of course, that's the impression you get, certainly when you watch CNBC. what's your gauge on the current need for 4CT services?
The recovery, you know, you've heard K-shaped recovery. You've heard other indicators here. Certainly, the stock market is roaring. Certainly, we see a lot of bounce back with the reopening of our state and other states, and, of course, the vaccination program, which has been going so well here. However, again, the K-shape. So the people who are at the bottom of the pyramid, people who lost their jobs, those jobs are coming back, but they're coming back slowly. Now, I hope we're wrong. I hope that everything comes roaring back. But honestly, systemic reasons have caused that bottom 20% to continually need help and support, and we need to be there. Again, what we're doing is novel, John, because we're doing direct aid. Again, other programs have existed in our state, but we're among the key programs throughout the country, and we've been recognized as such, that are doing this in a novel way that trusts people from the bottom up to know what their needs are and use cash in order to address those needs. So I think that's going to continue. I think that need, unfortunately, is going to persist for quite a while, and 4CT will be there to fill that need.
When I ask this question, I ask it from the perspective not of someone who has watched the pandemic as we all have and been disheartened by the fact that it even exists. My question is more as someone who has been in the business of philanthropy, What have you seen or experienced during this year that has disheartened you?
That's a good question. Well, I think first we did see some pullback in philanthropic dollars. I mean, 4CT, I think, was able to motivate a lot of people to make those donations that were necessary. And I think we played a great role in doing that. But we did see some pullback in that. I think, you know, a lot of the things that were happening on a national level did echo here in Connecticut. And we did see a lot of talk and a lot of bad blood, I'd say, amongst different organizations, amongst people who should be focused on helping Connecticut residents as opposed to other things. And we kind of got swept up in the politics of 2020, understandably, given that it was an election year. But, I, you know, mostly it's good news, right? Mostly, I think, you know, people did come out of, you know, the woodwork and make those donations. We, you know, we're proud of the thousands of donations, individual donations that we have, everything, you know, from a dollar all the way to $1 million, right? And a lot of the corporates and large foundations chipped in as well. So I think when the message got out there and people realized that their fellow citizens were in help or in need, and needed help, you know, they did something about that. So that's a brighter message.
You say you got swept up in the politics. Could you expound on that?
No, I mean, again, this is just my opinion. I think it's, you know, a lot of things about, I would think, you know, giving aid to people who need cash aid, you know, sometimes gets politicized, but it shouldn't be, right? It's really... the citizens of the state need help, and you know, when a crisis comes, you shouldn't sit there and look for the reasons why. You should get there and try to help them whatever you can.
I want you to put your deep thinking cap on for this one, really deep. All right.
Okay.
Not only did you run this charity, you're a successful businessman in your own right. I want to ask you about the concept of charity in this country as it currently plays out. You know, so many corporations and high net worth individuals tout their charity work while at the same time railing against higher taxes. Now, why is that good for society? If corporations pay one more dollar in taxes, if high net worth individuals pay one more dollar in taxes, wouldn't that be better than 20 cents more in charity?
Well, I think that you have to do both. I think that there will always be gaps in what the government can do. I think that was one of the reasons why 4CT was created, to motivate private philanthropy. And the reason is, you know, again, for all the reasons that government can accomplish a lot because it's, you know, the large number of people that work for the government, you know, its reach, you know, its powers, that makes it less nimble. And so you're always going to find in crisis situations that you haven't anticipated all the needs, and that there is a place for private philanthropy to come jumping in and deliver rapid relief like we did. In the kind of broader scheme of things, do I think it's right that individuals don't pay taxes and instead donate money? Well, I think that should be equalized. I think that, you know, ultimately it would be great if all services would be met and that people got their fair share and, you know, it was equitable. But I also live in the real world, and I think it's going to take some time to get there.
You told me last year 4CT had a focus on child care for first responders, food banks, and some other things. Those are the two that really jumped out. Has the focus evolved, or has it stayed pretty well focused over this year?
It's definitely evolved, John. We, you know, if you look on our website, we touch different needs at different times. So certainly, food and child care were amongst immediate needs, so that first responders and essential workers could get back to work, and so that people could be able to provide for their families. But we touched on other aspects of, for example, PPE, when that became necessary. We touched on education, you know, et cetera. And I think that the needs are constantly evolving. And again, our focus now is cash-based aid, because cash-based aid certainly is you know, the broadest. It allows you to attack all different needs. But more importantly, trust the people who need the help to know best how to help themselves. And also, you know, one thing to remember is that the bottom, 20% operates in a very cash-driven world, right? So the situation, for example, you know, where you need to go and provide cash for the caregiver of your child, or you need to provide cash to your landlord, it isn't, you know, the perhaps a credit-driven world that you or I would know. So again, that's really where we've evolved our thinking in getting to this mode where you know, trusting the people that we're helping and working through the community organizations that know them best in order to identify those recipients and enable them to help themselves.
Tell us about your successor, Catalina Samper-Horak.
Catalina is an amazing woman. So she is the founder and executive director of Building One Community, an organization that helps immigrants in Stanford. She's been on our board from the very earliest days, helping advise our grant making and figuring out where, working with me and the team to figure out where monies need to go. So she's well familiar with our organization, and more importantly, is a sophisticated ED and nonprofit leader. And that's what they need the most. Certainly, I like to build. I like to build fast. But when it comes to building for the long term and setting us up for a surge, for a long-term leader, Catalina is absolutely the right person.
And finally, what's next for Ted Yang? Are we going to see you out there hawking some non-fungible tokens or something or other? What's next for you?
No, I haven't played with that, and I don't intend to. Look, I continue to serve the state however I can, and just, again, in what role? In this case, again, the right place for the right, the right role for the right time certainly is for a leader like Catalina. In terms of me, I'll continue to work with the nonprofit, continue to help the state where I can, and continue to work on my various for-profit ventures. And I'm sure you'll be hearing from me sometime soon, and hopefully you will put me on your air.
Yeah, you come on and explain that non-fungible token thing to me. Absolutely.
Fair enough, John.
All right. Ted Yang, the now former chief executive officer of 4CT. Thanks for the time.
Thank you.